This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Giving you all you need to know. Power Business with Spisos Kanjana. Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. and Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. on Power 98.7.
It is 35 minutes after 6 o'clock, Power Listener. And of course, one of the other conversations that we said we would pick up, it is a reflection on robust tax receipts in December. Really, I think, pointing to a deficit undershoot. And we are, of course, trying to make sense of that. And we're going to be chatting to Peter Worthington, who is a senior economist at Absa CIB. Peter, welcome to the show and good evening.
Good evening. Thanks for having me.
Sure. And I mean, maybe let's just have, maybe take one step, Peter, and just kind of unpack, the tax receipts in the numbers in which they've come through. And where were the, positive blips that did come through? And where did we surprise on the downside as well?
Sure. So listen, I mean, we have seen as the fiscal year has progressed that we've kind of been tracking ahead of the assumptions or the forecasts that National Treasury made in the original budget. And they did go quite far in updating that when they published the MTBPS. So you might remember in February, Treasury was forecasting a deficit of 6% for the current fiscal year. By the time the MTBPS rolled around, they'd lowered that deficit forecast for the main budget to 4.9. And that's because tax receipts have been doing really pretty well. And what you've seen throughout the fiscal year overall, and in December as well, is that corporate tax receipts have held up pretty strongly, even though commodity prices have come off. And personal income tax receipts have also done quite well. VAT has been a bit of a laggard, but overall, what we're looking at is a situation where we've kind of got sort of tax receipts, gross tax revenue for the 9 months of the fiscal year that we have data for, they're up nearly 8% on the previous year.
Sure. And I mean, it's quite an interesting one. And we'll just start with corporate income taxes there. And again, unpacking where the drive was coming through, because, you know, of course, commodities did, have a bit of a good run in the earlier part, and that was reflected in the main budget. But then, of course, we did see them taper off as the year was coming across. But also we've seen, of course, CIT drop from its contribution to kind of the overall revenue basket from about 18.3% over the overall basket to about 15.9%. And so over the period, we're still seeing that that's still contributing at an aggregate level, net less than it used to. And I think that's giving us a sense around also the state of the corporate.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, that's true. But I think if we take December alone, for example, I mean, in December, and the right comparison is to make with December of the previous year, because those corporate income tax receipts are so seasonal. But what we actually had in December 22 was corporate income tax receipts, which were sort of almost as big as they were in June, which is the really strong month, and then actually bigger than they were in December 2021. So it's given that commodity prices had come off, I think it's a pretty good performance for CIT receipts. Sure. And what Treasury said at the MTBPS was that it wasn't only mining houses that were contributing handsomely, that we also had good contributions from manufacturing sector and from finance. You know, we do have a caveat, though, as we sort of think about what the load shedding is doing to many corporate profitability, increased spending on diesel. It's going to hurt their bottom lines. And looking forward, that would probably erode the corporate income tax collection.
Sure. Some of the gains that we would have, I think, seen come through. That what's going to be quite interesting, Peter, of course, is that because of the inflationary environment that we saw ourselves in, then wage demands would have come in trying to track at the same level, at least, or trying to in some way or another keep up with inflation. We do know that when we did look at that, it was still slightly behind in terms of wage expectations, coming in at about 5.4%. Against the backdrop of about 7.3% inflationary average inflation that was happening. But that would then push through from a PIT point of view as well, right?
Well, it would, depending on whether how much Treasury decides to adjust the tax bracket to eliminate that tax creep. And I think that that's a big question. Now, what you actually see with personal income tax receipts is that they have been really quite buoyant over the last couple of months. But, you know, again, load shedding, you'd expect it to sort of weigh on the economy. And that would show up to some degree also in the personal income tax receipt. But I do think really that they are kind of a source of strength. I mean, if you actually look at sort of November and December, PIT receipts on average, they are kind of up around 12-13% year on year in November, December. There'd been a lull in the middle of the year. The growth in the middle of the year was pretty weak. Now we're starting to see some catch up, hopefully, that will be sustained into the first quarter.
But I mean, just staying on that one, quite an interesting shift that we started seeing in all the prints that came in from a QES, Power Listeners Quarterly Employment Statistics, is that we're seeing almost a substitution effect that is taking place in terms of full-time employment and part-time employment. We did see in that QES as well that there were a lot of bonuses that came through, and I think that's going to translate in that PIT number looking a little bit robust. But for me, it's saying in the long run, we're probably going to have a pressure point in that PIT when more people are then moving into more part-time jobs than full-time jobs in what we've seen come through the QES numbers.
Well, I mean, you know, I guess it depends how much they get paid. I mean, you know, in an ideal world, everybody would have a highly well-paid part-time job. But listen, we're going to have to just see how that plays out. It is about kind of the compensation, and it is also about the number of jobs. So the product of kind of average compensation times the number of people in employment, that's what really matters. And you know, this shift into more part-time work, well, what we actually need is just more work in general. You know, we had very strong employment growth showing up in the quarterly labor force survey, but we think that that's a bit of an artifact associated with the way they were surveying households during the pandemic. When you look at that QES data, as I'm sure you are aware, we're not getting very strong overall job growth coming through.
Sure. And then really, I think, I mean, when we see a little bit of a sideways movement or a little bit of a softening from VAT receipts, what often kind of, signals can one often read in between those lines?
Well, listen, I mean, VAT receipts sort of over the longer run, or sort of, you know, once you abstract from the monthly volatility, I mean, they're just related to the amount of spending that households are doing. And what we may find is that as households are increasingly pressured, they devote more of their budget to spending on those basic necessities, many of which are zero rated and therefore don't contribute to VAT. So I would say that as households have become pressured by high inflation and rising interest rates, you might on average expect them to devote more of their consumption basket to those zero-rated necessities. And I think the outlook for household consumption spend going into 2023 is one which is under pressure. We've had some pretty big interest rate hikes come through. Food price and fuel inflation are tapering off, but it's not like prices are falling very dramatically on those fronts. So household budgets are squeezed.
And I mean, I think to the point you're making, it's quite an interesting one around kind of what kind of substitution effect or behavior that we start to see into more of those zero-rated, food items. And often, you know, some of those are non-perishables as well. But when you actually just look at also in terms of some of, as I said, what goes into that particular basket, one, I don't think the basket is necessarily currently reflective of the average cost of living for the ordinary South African, with housing and utilities contributing at 24.6% of that basket. I think that is certainly overweight. But when you look at some of the other pieces, as I said, you know, administered prices, fuel prices, all of those I think are going to translate into a higher, I guess, average cost of that basket, which may, potentially just keep those numbers a little bit elevated from a tax collection point of view.
Yes, to the extent that, you know, sort of, again, to the extent that people aren't sort of just spending on the bare necessities, which was zero rated. But you're right. I mean, if the prices of the goods rise and household budgets can accommodate it and they're spending anyway, then you're right. There'd be a little bit of an extra fillip come through on VAT. But what we've seen sort of in the 9 months of the 22-23 fiscal year is that overall the VAT receipts have been sort of more subdued as the year has progressed. And I think that's consistent with rising interest rates and and pressure on households.
Sure. And then, Peter, just quickly on an outlook for this coming budget, kind of end of this month, what do you think is going to come through in terms of really, I think, the guidance? I mean, of course, I think you have made a little bit of a mention around the role in which load shedding would have probably compressed or accelerated, I guess, expenditure, you know, which, of course, would reduce, you know, overall taxable income. But what are the other things that I think you think are going to come through as massive, I guess, points of interest in this coming budget?
So I think one thing that everybody is looking for is the promise that Finance Minister Godangwana made at the MTBBS that a debt deal for Eskom would be unveiled at the budget. There's a lot of things to sort of put in place before Treasury is going to sign up to a debt transfer. And so I'm not expecting a debt deal to be affected at the budget, but I think we'll get some more details, maybe not a fully articulated program, but we'll kind of just, I think everybody will be very keen to see what they do on that. Mm. Also, the president a few days ago announced that there would be sort of some measures, or that the government was working on measures to assist businesses and households to deal with the costs of load shedding. We don't know what they are. They haven't been finalized yet. I would expect them to be laid out in the budget. Presumably, there will be some kind of fiscal cost attached to them. And so that's something that I will want to see or be very curious about. And, you know, there are other upside spending pressures that are out there, bailout needs of loss-making state-owned enterprises. We have a public sector workforce that had a sub-inflation wage rate, wage adjustment for the current fiscal year. We'll want to see what they're kind of implying for a settlement for the next fiscal year when the budget is actually published on 22 February.
Sure. A couple of things. We're getting into that month. It is SONA, and then it's going to be budget. So lots of interesting developments that are going to come through in this month. But Peter, thank you very much for joining us and wishing you a lovely evening further.
Yeah, pleasure.
Power listener, that was Peter Worthington. Of course, Osuga Absa CIB is a senior economist.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.